Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate today on our gospel reading from Mark chapter 8 and the theme of taking up your cross. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your words to us today. Bless us as we meditate on them and think about what it means for us to take up our crosses in our own lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We pick up today kind of where we left off last week, thinking about the cross. Thinking about the cross. Now, the cross, if you reflect on its centrality for us as Christians, really has pride of place. Firstly, in our churches, you can see crosses everywhere. We counted them in the first service. I think we got up to about 30 here in the church. Crosses are hung in our homes. They're hung around our necks. Crosses are very central in the symbols of many, not just Christian churches, but Christian schools, Christian organizations. If you look at their buildings, if you look at their shields, if you look at their logos, you see the cross everywhere. For Christians, you see the cross. At our most recent confirmation session, we were talking about the first commandment. You shall have no other gods, and you shall not make a graven image or an idol. And one of the students raised the question about the cross. Don't we kind of do that to the cross, they said. In the same way a Buddhist might bow before Buddha or a Hindu before Krishna, what about the cross? It's a good question, don't you think? They're a bright bunch. Take my word for it. They are. We hold the cross in such high regard. We have, you know, it's such a sacred thing for us that it begs that question. Isn't it a bit like an idol to us? Now, the difference with a cross is that it's not made to represent God and that we don't believe we come to the cross to access God's power, which is the purpose of an image or an idol in many religions. But today, Jesus does draw our attention to the cross. Jesus wants us thinking about the cross, talking about the cross. So that's what we're going to do today. Our three headings are that Jesus talks about his cross, Jesus gets cross, and Jesus calls us to carry our cross, right? So Jesus talks about his cross, Jesus gets cross, and Jesus calls us to carry our cross in turn. Jesus then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this. For the first time in Mark's gospel, you get Jesus starting to talk about the end, his suffering, his death on the cross. Also his resurrection, but notice the disciples don't pick up on that, at least not at this stage. His disciples have just begun to work out a few things about who Jesus is. You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. But now it's time for them to learn what that means, how he is the Christ. How the Son of God lives out his mission in the world. He is the crucified Christ. He is the suffering Son of God. And of course, that won't be quite as easy for them to come to grips with. It won't sit quite as well with them. Why not? Well, they're like us, right? They don't like the idea of something that seems painful and difficult and hard and cruel. They shirk away from that. They don't want to know about it. And I don't think we're that different. But it's interesting that Jesus says the Son of Man must suffer many things. He must. This is a divine necessity, right? That's what he's saying. This has to happen. This is God's will. It's got to be this way. Son of Man must suffer many things. There's no way around it. Now, we can see why the disciples really struggle with this, especially at this time in this context, because things seem to be going pretty well for Jesus. He's preaching and he's teaching and he's healing the sick and he's performing miracles and he's drawing crowds and everything seems on the up, right? Everything seems to be going really well. And then he says, this is all going to end real soon and in very difficult circumstances. You can see how that would sound strange to them. It's like, you know, you get the CEO of this successful company and they're doing well and the profits are up and the stocks are up. And the workers are happy and they're working hard and everything's going well. He comes out and says, I'm about to be sacked. Something like that, right? This is all going to end very soon and in very difficult circumstances. What I like about this text, among other things, is how it says, and he spoke plainly to them about it. He spoke plainly, right? He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't ham it up, all right? He just said, this is how it is. This is how it's going to be. I love that about Jesus, that he tells us how things are and he gives it to us straight. He doesn't play things up. He doesn't play things down. He just tells it like it is. I think there's a real model for us to follow in that, in our own lives, our own faith lives, our own struggles, whatever it is, to learn to just speak plainly about how things are. This is who we are. This is what we believe. This is why. This is where I'm at. And then let the chips fall, right? That's what Jesus does. He speaks plainly to people, openly to people, calmly to people, but very transparently to people about the way things are for him and the way things will be for us as well. So, Jesus speaks plainly about his cross. Jesus also gets cross sometimes, doesn't he? Some of us get cross maybe too often. Some of us maybe don't get cross often enough. All right, Jesus gets cross just the right amount. I think if you speak to the confirmation group, they'd probably tell you that I don't get cross much in our sessions, although I did threaten to throw someone's mobile phone out the window the other day. But generally, I don't get very cross. I'm pretty calm. But Jesus, he's got this particularly measured way. He knows just when to get cross, right? Just when to put his foot down and just when to let it up again. Jesus gets cross in just the right measure, at just the right time, for just the right reason. Now, what makes him cross on this occasion? No prizes for guessing that St. Peter has got something to do with it, right? Because St. Peter's always got something to do with it. And St. Peter is, he's hot and he's cold, right? And he's good and he's bad. One minute he's on fire and the next minute he's really not. That's Peter. That's what he's like. In this occasion, Peter's problem is exactly what Jesus spells out, right? You have in mind the things of human beings, but not the things of God, right? You're thinking too worldly, too human, Peter. And this is often our problem as well. So what Jesus says is, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. That's a telling off, if I've ever heard one, right? Jesus is cross. And you can just imagine him. It says, you know, he turned around. You can just imagine him wheeling around and just looking at Peter, just deadpan expression on his face, locked eyes with Peter. And Peter's thinking, oh boy, where can I hide? Right? What have I said this time? And then Jesus tells him exactly what he said and exactly what the problem with it was. At what point do Jesus' closest followers and friends become his biggest problem? At what point does the church, which is supposed to be the vehicle of the gospel in the world, right? God's agents, his servants, at what point does the church become the biggest impediment to the gospel, the biggest problem God has to deal with? Well, Jesus gives us an idea. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Right? It's when we get carried away in our own way of thinking, our very human, worldly way of thinking, and forget about his way of thinking, that we start to go off course. This is what Peter's thinking. He's thinking, why the cross? Why do we have to struggle? Why the suffering? Why the pain? Right? Why the torment of all that? Isn't there another way? Can't we get around this somehow? Right? Can't we avoid it somehow? Can't we run away from it somehow? You know how people think. Avoid it or suppress it, alleviate it, do something, anything but deal with it. Right? Or we go the other way. Can't we triumph over this? We can overcome it. We can do it. Come on, Jesus. Just think positive. Right? You'll get there. You'll be okay. This is human nature at work. Right? It's fight or flight. There's a problem on the horizon. You either got to run or you got to go full steam ahead. Jesus says, just wait. Just hold on. There just may be a third way. I think part of the problem for human beings is that we equate success and a good life with a problem-free life and a pain-free life and a comfortable life. And Jesus says, it's not always the way it is. It's not always the way it's going to be for you as my followers. right? It's not even my main goal for you, by the way, right? Jesus never promises that. There is always a cross to bear. There is always a cross to bear, according to Jesus. And glory, goodness, success, as he defines it, is through that cross. Not around it, not over it, not under it. You know the book, right? We're going on a bear hunt, isn't it? Right? But through it. It's through the cross. You've got to go through. There's only one way. You've got to go through it. There must be a struggle. There is no glory without the struggle. I think older folks tend to understand this better than younger folks because, I don't know about you, but I often hear, all right, people talking about the way it was when they were young and some of the struggles they went through. Especially when you first get married, you hear this, right? When we first got married, we didn't have all that nice furniture that you guys have, right? We had two deck chairs and a cardboard box and we lived in a tent and the tent didn't have a roof and, right, and it goes on. Now, I really like hearing those stories about the good old days, but I think there's a real wisdom to those stories, and the wisdom is we had to struggle a bit and it did us good, okay? We had to struggle and it helped us appreciate what we have, or we had to struggle and it taught us a few things. We learned through it. We grew through it. Even maybe our faith was deepened because of it. I think that's what Jesus is getting at, right? The road to glory is not around the cross. It's not over the cross. It's not under the cross. It is through the cross. It's through the struggle. The cross calls into question everything we think we know about living well, living comfortable, living a good life. It teaches us, reminds us, that creaturely comforts can be spiritual perils. That creaturely comforts can be spiritual perils. That getting everything we always wanted in life is perhaps the worst thing that could ever happen to us. That getting everything we always wanted is perhaps the worst thing that could ever happen to us. You see, Jesus redefines success, right, and glory. And to him, living well, living a good life, is always about living a life with the cross front and center, right in the middle. Glory through struggle, through suffering. That's his way, and he calls us to the same way. So, it's gone. But what it said was, Jesus gets cross, right? Jesus talks to us about his cross. Jesus gets cross. Jesus calls us to carry our cross. You know, Jesus is not the big, soft, cuddly teddy bear savior we kind of sometimes make him out to be. And when he needs to say hard words to us, he does. And that's what we hear in today's text. He is the Lion of Judah. That means he can be ferocious when he has to be, especially when our souls are at stake. So, third point, Jesus calls us to carry our cross. He called the crowd to him along with his disciples and he said to them, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul?" I've always been very, very drawn to that question. And for some reason, it is one of those parts in the Bible that just comes back to me on a regular occasion. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world but forfeit their soul? In other words, what does all our success matter in worldly terms, right? What does all our money matter, all our houses matter, all our comfortable lives matter if we lose the one thing that does matter trying to get there? I think this is important for us to think about as 21st century Adelaide Hills residents, right? Because it's a good life here from what I can see, right? From what I've experienced so far. There is so much that is good about living in our time and our day in this place. And we need to hear Jesus whispering into our ears, "Yes, but what good is it to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul?" Right? Hold on to the core. Hold on to what matters. Right? Loosen your grip on everything else so that you can take hold of this one thing. Right? It might mean loosening the grip on your money so you can take hold of the poor. Or it might mean loosening your grip on your time so you're available to serve people. Whatever it is, I hear Jesus saying, loosen your grip on your life so that you can take hold of me and my cross. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Billy Graham, the famous American evangelist who died this week, I'm sure many of you heard that, once said, "When wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, all is lost. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world but forfeit their soul, their center, their being, their character?" Right? Jesus calls us to take up our cross, to take up our cross. And by that, he means to take up whatever burdens us, whatever is difficult for us. And I know you all have things, all right? Life's good in the Adelaide Hills, but it's not that good, okay? We all have things that we struggle with, things in our family, things in our workplace, wherever it is, right? It might be pain, it might be physical pain, emotional pain, might be other struggles in relationships, it might be financial issues, right? You can't assume. It might be any of these things. And Jesus says to us, pick it up, take up your cross, and come follow me. What we're called to is to take up our cross with the one who took up his cross for us. And that carries with it the promise that he won't let us down, that he's not going to let us walk the path alone, because he's walked it before us and he knows what it's like. And so he's going to be there with us in the midst of it, every step of the way, with his grace and his mercy and his peace. You know, it says in Scripture that by his cross he made peace between us and God. Right? So that's what he wants for us. That's what he's working towards. No matter what the path is like to get there, he is seeking peace for us, between us and God. He's been there, he's done that, and he came out the other side. And he promises that we will too. He promises to lead us not over, not under, not around, but through our cross to a glory and a joy that is unlike any other. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that your Son took up his cross for us. We thank you that sometimes he gets cross at us and has to pull us back into line, but not without good reason. And we thank you that he calls us to carry our crosses, whatever they may be. Help us to pick these things up and to follow you in our lives and to one day experience your glory and your joy that is unlike any other. In his name we pray. Amen.